Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It is good to be with you. I was not here last Sunday. Lance and I take off on Christmas Day after a whirlwind Advent and a Christmas Eve service, which, by the way, if you were here, was stunning. And I just take this moment to say that the centerpiece was the duet of O Holy Night by Carrie and John. We might have to have them sing it in the middle of the year just so we can record it. But I always feel a little incomplete because I do the Christmas Eve service and then I'm gone. And it, really, Christmas is continued. You know, it's not like it stops. That's actually where it starts, the birth of Jesus. And then I end up having to leave. And we have dealt with the stories for weeks. The stories that are so familiar. A little bit from Matthew. You know, Matthew gives us the story of the Magi. Today is also Epiphany, the story of the three Magi coming to bring their gifts to the Christ child. But mainly we use Luke's story. You know, he's the one who gives us the angels and the shepherds and the night visitations. But the two birth narratives together give us, you know, the nativity scene. It gives us the Christmas story as we know it. Today's gospel is a little bit different. It comes from the fourth gospel, from the gospel of John, the fourth evangelist, the last gospel to be written, much later than the other three. And it is from the first 18 verses of John. It's often referred to as the prologue of John. And these beautiful words, we believe, were written as a poem or maybe a hymn. And hear these words from the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is the God of the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. These are some of the most beautiful words in all of the New Testament. It's a beginning, a poem, and it describes the beginning of time when the Word was with God. In the hymn to Jesus Christ, this poetic language is used to describe God and creation. It's about darkness and light. It is about the Word. In Greek, the word is logos. And when we hear word, we so often attribute that to Scripture. We say the Word of God. We use the word interchangeably. We use it many different ways. But in this case, the word logos means the spoken word. It also means reason. and knowledge, and some have even interpreted it as intelligence. The reason of God, the knowledge of God, was in the beginning, and it was God. John is stating that Jesus, as the Word made flesh, was with God from the beginning of time. When I try to wrap my sometimes analytic scientific mind around that, I think, does that mean was Jesus with God in the beginning of the world billions of years ago? But I do think that understanding the Christ as being with God in the beginning is a different image. It's an image that we can think about because it holds wonderful possibilities. When we refer to Jesus as the Christ, we say the word Christ as if it were his last name. We say Jesus Christ when it's Jesus of Nazareth, who is the Christ. But for so long, didn't we all grow up saying Jesus Christ, like that was his last name? And we forget sometimes that the meaning of the word the Christ is the anointed one. Jesus as the anointed one. Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ that is present with us now and always has been. When I wondered about this beautiful hymn, it's very abstract, and of course there's about 12 or 14 sermons in the whole poem. I realized that there were two things that just kept speaking to me, that stood out to me. One is, what does it mean for the Christ to be present with God from the beginning of time? Before there was time, before there was space. Does it mean that God's hope for creation was always present? That from the beginning of time and space, God imagined for us, for the creation, the kingdom. A dream for the world so profound that it has Eden written all over it. And Jesus' life became the revelation of that hope, of that dream. Jesus became the human witness to God's relentless gift to the creation. If we ponder Jesus' revelation of God to us, it seems to come in many forms. If we think about the Christ being present with God from the beginning of time, and we think about what Jesus has taught us as the revelation of that God, we would think about words like forgiveness and mercy and compassion. We would understand that in the beginning of time, we were to love our enemies. We were to turn the other cheek. We were to love one another as God loves us. And we were to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. When we listen to the teachings of Jesus, do we hear the truth that was present with God from the beginning of all time? In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the reason, the knowledge, the intelligence. We humans have been asked to care for that creation, that those possibilities have existed from the beginning of time. But the other thing I thought about is it's the new year. It's the new year. And this begins with in the beginning. January 1st, it is a date. And we humans measure our lives in increments of time, from seconds all the way through years. And we assign different importance to different times. And we take January 1st, and it is the beginning for us once again, a new start when we make resolutions, when we get a do-over. This is God's big do-over, January 1st. We take an ordinary day, chronos time, the passing of regular time, and we give it deeper meaning. We make it kairos time. The time when God's meaning and purpose for our lives will be fulfilled, a special time in human history. Every year we mark that day as a beginning for our new lives. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the Christian hope for a new beginning, that for all time we have never been without the Christ. Now, when we enter the new year, we're going to do all kinds of things. We're going to make resolutions, and we're going to say we're going to be better, and some people are going to quit smoking. We're all going to do things, and we think, this is the year. This is the spiritual year when I'm going to open myself up to God's leading. But what I want you to know is that each and every moment for us is a new beginning. If you get to April 7th and things aren't going well, you don't have to give up until January 1st, 2012. That every single moment we live is a new beginning, filled with the possibility that was in the beginning. The dream for the world and the dream for our lives, it never, ever, ever waits. It is present. God and us together are creating the future. Our beginnings and God's beginnings are tied together in the smallest increment of sacred time. We don't have to wait. The hymn tells us that the Word became flesh and lived among us. In the Greek, it says the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. Isn't that a beautiful image? It's worth pondering for all of us, though, to think about what it took to reveal God in humanity. It took a human person. To the mystery of God, Jesus gave us a human face. And from the beginning of time and space, God has had a dream for this world, and Jesus lived and died to reveal the dream to us. Jesus also did another thing. He said, in the beginning, you are the incarnation of a loving God. You are to embody the dream that I brought. You are to be the continuation of God's incarnational qualities for the world. We are to be the beginning for others. John tells us, from the fullness of the word, we have all received grace upon grace. That's a lot of grace. This coming year, may our lives be full of God's grace. May we see it. May we experience it. May we be open to it. May we not run from it and be afraid of it. This is a new beginning. This is a sacred new year with the knowledge that the grace of God through Jesus Christ is with us now and always has been. And in every moment, Christ waits. Amen.